Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins. And as always, other than my interview with Fernando Gonzalez, my co-host, Ed Carbajal. Ed, what's going on, brother?
Nothing much. Just allergies kicking my ass. Really quick, just for folks, if you're just jumping on now, watching us as we stream this live, the Fernando Gonzalez interview, there's a link in the description if you're watching this on YouTube, if you want to watch it right away. Jump right to that. If you're listening to this on Spotify or wherever you listen to the audio version of the podcast, just jump to the remaining 30 or so minutes and you'll get the Fernando Gonzalez interview right away if you're pressed for time. But it's a great chat. He's always open to jumping on the podcast with us. Unfortunately, the timing was off, so Matt did it.
Yeah,
solo.
It was late put together. Did it on Saturday. You know, it was thrown together in a matter of hours. So I'm glad to get a chance to speak to him a week out from his big fight at Knucklemania 4. And, you know, he's always got something good to say, and he's always a good guy. And, you know,
if always ready to throw down too. And I mean,
exactly.
You know, he's definitely someone that I mean, he's probably in hindsight, him fighting independently like as a free agent the way he has, you know, he's not tied up with the belt or not PFL nonsense. So. And kind of a way, you know, long term, he lucked out with that as far as that goes. But really quick, before we get deep into the Knucklemania card that's coming your way, Derek Anderson versus Cedric Doumbé. If you haven't heard already, that fight is off. Derek Anderson got involved in a hit and run. His foot is broken or whatever the hell Kevin Nicholson wants to call it. Bent the other way. He's not doing too good. The fight, literally 24 hours from when the fight got announced, got in a motorcycle accident. And if you follow Derek Barbaric on Instagram, I think that's his handle. He's got a GoFundMe up if you want to throw him some cash, help him. He's pretty much going to be out of commission for a while if you saw the picture of his foot. But I'm sure you have because we were recording this at the end of the day. The day of it happening. So I just wanted to make sure we mentioned that because he's somebody that's been another one that's given us time while he was with Bellator. And that was actually a really good fight, him and Doumbé. I feel like Doumbé's got like a foot curse or something because between Derek Anderson breaking his foot and Doumbé losing his fight over a piece of glass in his own foot at his last fight, I don't know, man. PFL's got a lot of stuff that they need to work on. I mean, as their season goes ahead,
and we, you know, did you see the card they announced? The next card has five rematches and one trilogy.
Yeah, it's like a whole, it's like a Bellator remix. Yeah, I saw.
Yeah, I just wild that's
lucky for them. They got the Bellator roster, and those fighters are, you know,
yeah. Well, lucky for them. Yeah, it looks like they're rigging the women's bracket again too. I saw some stuff going on there. You know.
And it would be nice if Don Davis would like have a live conversation with Chris Cyborg because he keeps saying she's fighting in the fall and she seems to constantly tweet that no one's reached out to her. So like, you know, maybe talk to the people that you're announcing fights for before you, you know, make the fights happen. But I don't know.
What percentage do you give Ngannou actually fighting in September?
Oh, come on. Whatever Turkey, whatever that guy is, when he says they're fighting, that's when the fight happens.
Okay, there you go. There you go. When they decide to throw extra money in to get him in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense because he's not voluntarily going into the PFL cage anytime.
Yeah.
You know, at least not with some major incentive at this point. But
yeah.
Yeah, so what else? McGregor, I don't know if you've seen the early news, but the McGregor Chandler early rumored ticket prices, let's just call that, are off the hook. Not off the hook. They're the next level.
It's only for Epstein Island list people and other sorts of rich Puff Daddy like the Illuminati level. That's if you have that money. That's how you're getting to 303. If I mean, not for nothing, how do you spend money on a fight that again, International Fight Week, man? We know that's a cursed week in Vegas. Something's gonna happen. Some fight's gonna fall.
Well, I'm going. So
and which, I
I don't have Illuminati. I don't have Epstein Island money or none of that stuff. But I am a fool for the fights, and it is a happening. Let's just say that a McGregor fight is something that I would like, ideally, every fight fan to have the ability to.
After July, Matt will be streaming from a storage shed.
One time. It's starting in July, not after July.
Yeah.
But yeah, and don't get me wrong, I'm getting in the door for the cheapest tickets I'm able to physically get my hands on. So this is, I'm not going to be sitting down in the $12,000 VIP, you know.
He'll be outside. You have to pay to be outside and watch somebody open the door and catch a glimpse. That's the level of the
UFC. I'll be able to smell the popcorn and buy a $30 beer. So I'll be there for it. But
fight one of the Spider-Men.
But outside. with that said, you bring up valid points. The only thing that keeps me sane is the fact that, and I've stated it, when McGregor's on the marquee, he's always showed up. Now there's always a first. Let's knock on whatever you can knock on, but let's hope that that's not a first. But but he tends to show up. You know, it's gonna be a fun fight. This 165. I like where
Michael Chandler's head is at. Like all the interviews he's doing, getting ready for. I don't think the weight doesn't matter anymore for this fight. Michael Chandler seems to be in kill mode now. Like all the interviews he's doing, the way he's talking, it's like Justin Gaethje's talking on Fight Week. You know what I mean? Like just ready to die, ready to put Conor, you know, like back into the movie circuit or whatever. All the stuff he's been saying.
His entire career comes down to this fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not for you, because we know Michael Chandler and we know the battles and all the great fights he put on in Bellator and his amazing, great time there. But the actual fan, this is the fight. A win here, he could essentially retire Conor McGregor, go down his history as potentially his last fight. And McGregor's primed for it. Poirier showed you how it can be done. So I feel like, you know, it's there for him and it's all there. If you know, there's pressure on McGregor, but McGregor is a kajillionaire who is not going to lose his, you know, is not, you know, and not that I'm sure Chandler's financially set as well, but this is a fight that chance to really put a star on top of his career. And just, I mean, it's a win that nobody would ever take away from him. And it would be remembered for a long time, especially potentially how it could go down, because I don't necessarily see it being a 5-round fight. I feel like there's going to be some big shots, and I think it's going to be an exciting fight.
I see a finish coming for sure.
So anyways, that'll be UFC 303. We got multiple pay-per-views to talk about before we get there. But this weekend, the blood will be flowing in Southern California for Knuckle Mania 4, presented by Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. Mike Perry faces off Thiago Alves. Just a stacked bare knuckle card with MMA names up and down, and a professional boxer making his debut. So looks like we got a lot to look forward to. You know,
what's crazy to me is like there's a championship bout on there, and you know, Mike Perry's still the main event. He's definitely like, he's such every card that they put him on seems to be, that weekend that he fights at a bare knuckle event, it winds up being like the peak fight event of that weekend. And it looks like that. I mean, that was the case last time. That's going to be the case this time. And when he fought Alvarez last time, and even like for everything we know about Thiago Alves, something about Perry in this format of fighting just makes him, he's the guy to be. I can't see him losing. I just don't see him losing.
No, I mean, I agree with you. And I think he's become a special thing kind of right now for them in BKFC. Mm-hmm. It reminds me a bit about like pro wrestling, in a sense that in pro wrestling, a lot of the best wrestlers wouldn't necessarily get a championship belt because the promoters didn't see any real gain in the fighter in fame and for, you know, in glory. So he's able, he's got such a name. He's so over with the crowd, as they would say in pro wrestling. And he's so, you know, right now his fame is at an all-time high. He really doesn't even have to have championship fights. A title would almost hold him back because then you have number one contenders and stuff like that. Whereas now it's like super fight after super fight after super fight. Yeah. You know, and he has three divisions, four divisions. He can flex between if he wants to.
Yeah.
So I think that that's how it kind of feels to me.
That. Yeah, he hinted at that too at the last when he was at the post fight presser for the last one, that he was just like it has to be, and he's doing it smart with his own career. He's flat out said it's got to be another name. I can't do it by myself. It's got to be another name that makes sense. And I mean this fight makes sense. I mean it's funny because Thiago Alves didn't Joe Rogan just reference Thiago Alves when Holly Holm and what's her name. Yeah, Kayla Harrison were going at it. He said Kayla Harrison's back looked like Thiago Alves' back. So I was just like, yeah, dude, like, I mean, the dude is, I mean, he's dangerous, but it's just bare knuckle. I mean, if anybody was a natural in bare knuckle, it's definitely Mike Perry.
I think his aggression and his fearlessness is kind of what sets him apart in a sense. Obviously, Alves is a former champion in BKFC as well, and he just gave up the belt. He's 2-0. I think that the savagery of Mike Perry comes through. You know, the only fear that I kind of have is like seeing how the Athletic Commission in California reacts to some of the cuts. And I know that that's nothing new to them. Between boxing and MMA, California is probably the most experienced commission maybe in the world. But you know, whenever something new comes in, I'm always interested, you know, on how it's going to be played out and you know, and what they're going to allow. And is it going to be, you know, obviously you got to stop. We've had Doc Lucas on a million times. There's certain cuts that you have to stop a fight. And then there's other ones that are just judgment and, you know, and an understanding of the dangers. But yeah, I mean, I like Mike Perry in the main event. I think it's going to be exciting. And I Thiago Alves is dangerous, but when you take away the kicks from Thiago Alves, I feel like you kind of, you know, as the max fighter, we know, like in an MMA fight, I tend to maybe lead more Thiago Alves. You know, I think that's maybe fair.
Yeah, like, if it was MMA, but it's not
certainly in their prime, but in this, no.
What's the, because you're going to this and it's out by you. I mean, like as we enter fight week, what's the energy like out there? Like, does it seem like folks are gearing up for this, or is it low key? How's it seem?
Yeah, where I'm at, I'm too far to notice. Other than Fernando, talking to him about it, and him being local to me. No, I mean it's LA. It's 90 minutes from me, so I don't. Right now, there's a lot going on. The thing about this is now, I mean, the Lakers are going to have a playoff game It's not the same building, but it's like right next to each other. It's fairly similar to almost to MSG and the theater at MSG. So you're gonna have BKFC going off in the Peacock Theater, the home of like American Idol, and then right next to it, you're gonna have a Laker playoff game. So that it's downtown LA is gonna be popping on Saturday night. So I don't know what that'll do. I don't know if that affects the crowd. I don't know if you have some sports fans who are maybe going to the Laker game that might have went to the fight that night if opportunities had been different, so I don't know, but I know that they have their weigh-in coming up, press conference. Actually, might be on you know, in about an hour here, but I think by the time it rolls around, I think the crowd's going to be hyped. Southern California always has a good fight crowd, and I think it's going to be fun. You know, the main event is standalone, an amazing fight. You mentioned the title fight, Mick Terrell, who's the newly crowned heavyweight champion. He's fighting Lorenzo Hunt, who was a two-division champion. He's a, you know, the weight divisions are slightly different, but it's the equivalent of him being the middleweight and light heavyweight champion. Now he's moving up to, he's trying to become triple champ. I don't know if he vacated those titles and he's going to stay at heavyweight. I'm not real sure about the ins and outs of all that. Doesn't even friggin' matter. Right now, before the fight or as of today, he is the reigning and defending 85 and or, you know, middleweight and light heavyweight, essentially. Might be cruiserweight again. It's the two upper divisions closest to heavyweight. So he's essentially trying to become a triple champion. 11-1. Matrix, a lot of, you know, a lot of people in there for, you know, I mean, he's caught punches and done some wild stuff. His last fight, he was against Mike Richmond, and it was one of the most, is two fights ago was Mike Richmond, and he had the huge back. In fact, he rebounded with a decision win over Chris Camozzi, but both of those fights, he had issues and trouble. So obviously as the competition gets better, he's going to have that. I think he's going to have trouble here with a 270-pound Terrell. I mean, if you just look at their stats right there, you're looking at, it says 270 to 185. Even if Hunt comes in at 230, he's likely to be 40, 50 pounds lighter than Terrell in the ring. So I'm going to go with the heavyweight champion, and because I do believe when you have two skilled athletes, you know, that big of a size difference has got to play some kind of role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other fight that's on there that jumped out to me when I was because I only watch these when Perry fights, obviously folks can't tell, but this fight right here, Rothwell and Duffy. I mean, I feel like this is going to be either a quick one or a really boring one.
Boring? No, I don't think it'll be boring with Ben Rothwell involved. Mm-hmm. I also don't think Duffy is anywhere near the caliber of Ben Rothwell. Mm. Not to be a knock, but like, you know, he got knocked down on his feet by Frank Mir in MMA. Mm-hmm. Overeem just annihilated him in Dream. And Rothwell's been successful 2-0. Really dominating.
Yeah.
His Josh Copeland in his last bout. Bout was originally scheduled for Salt Lake City a couple months back, and I'm not sure which one of them had an issue, but it got rescheduled for tonight or for the Saturday night. I'm going with Rothwell by knockout. He's a big dude. Mm-hmm. I know Duffy's huge too, but Rothwell is one of those guys you walk up to, and he very well could be the biggest person some people have ever met. You know, he's a big, big man.
Yeah.
So I go with Rothwell. I go with Rothwell. I think he's going to dominate.
Yeah,
I think it's more of like just a heavyweight name for him, who's a guy who's going to come and leave it in the ring. But I think Rothwell is going to eat him
for sure. Day. Antoine Willis, what's up, man? It's really cool to see. He wrote in and says it's really cool to see how Mike never gave up and how he's a millionaire off of bare knuckle fighting. It is. It's almost like, you know, he went. We said this a couple of podcast episodes, I think. The last time he fought, he went from being like some guy that people were snickering at when he was in the UFC to what he is. He's like, you know, he's like the Michael Jordan or you know, John Jones of bare knuckle, whoever the best athlete is in your favorite sport. I mean, for bare knuckle, you know, Mike Perry's like that guy. If they made like bare knuckle sneakers, there'd be an Air Perry on there. You know what I mean? Like, he's just, he's really come into his own. Now he's featured on, you know, multiple podcasts and doing his own thing. And the thing about this sport is, like, who knows how long he's going to be able to do it, especially the way he fights. That fight against Alvarez, like, I thought technically it looked like Alvarez was winning until Perry just laid into him with that one punch that made him want to quit. But that's why this is the card, the main event that to bring them to LA, into Matt's neck of the woods, and get Matt in there, and, you know, it is a home state for once, which seemed like it came under the radar when we found out about it, right?
Yeah, it just popped out of nowhere that it was like slid into some other. It was like hitting under slap fighting or something. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm being serious. I think it was like a letter. Somebody was saying how slap fighting got legalized in California, and just if you just read the notes, it also mentioned, you know, bare knuckle combat, you know, and
which is good though. It's good for a BKFC at David Feldman, because if you're gonna legalize something as silly as slap fighting, and you got skilled actual combatants in a sport, which is just, I mean, it's boxing with no gloves in a smaller ring or whatever, but, you know, people want to talk about the brutality of it. But I think the more BKFC, the more bare knuckle events that happen as a whole, the more folks are seeing how, you know, even though it looks gruesome, you know, the stuff with the CTE and the concussive force or the that gloves produce with, you know, with the KOs and stuff like that, you're seeing something like bare knuckle kind of like bring more attention to research when it comes to combat sports and, you know, facial and head trauma. And I know Eric McGracken just posted something like that a couple of days ago where he was like, maybe the problem with KOs and concussions and CTA are the gloves. It's been cited before in many studies. I wrote something years ago about it. I know he's posted a lot of studies on combat sports law. So it's good that they're in one of the media like towns in like LA and holding this event. You were saying something to me about this before we started recording this particular matchup with Angulo and Riggs.
So Alfredo Angulo is a former, or you know, might still be current professional boxer. Pro boxing record of 26-8. Maybe that doesn't sound great. Obviously, he's got there's 8 losses there, but he did go 10 rounds with Canelo Alvarez. He did get finished in the 10th, but he went through 9 rounds in 2 minutes with Canelo Alvarez. He's also been in the ring. He lost a split decision to Sergio Mora, another very, very good boxer over the years. So he's been in there with the best in boxing. So he's bringing a skill set that like we just saw recently with Austin Trout, where Austin Trout's now the champion after beating Luis Palomino. So it's interesting. You know, Nico Hernandez was a U.S. Olympian. He fought on one of the early Wichita cards, Wichita Fight Nights for BKFC. And he ended up winning his fight. His little brother was also a boxer. He fought and had success. So real pro boxers seem to be successful so far in this. Chop Chop Corley, I think, lost a split decision, if I recall correctly, maybe to Elvin Brito. But this is interesting. It'll be interesting to see. And you get, you know, 175, 165. It's hard to say the weight class exactly, but pro boxer coming in seems to have success, unless he's perhaps fighting a world-class fighter. And I don't know much about Jeremiah Riggs, but at 2-2.
I don't know if all pro boxers have success, but like, you know, maybe if they're just not that, if they're mediocre boxers and this kind of fits their bill a little more. Cause I mean, you know, Paulie Malignaggi broke his hands as the homeboy Joseph Correa predicted he would, when he did his bare knuckle thing against Lobov some years ago. But this fight in particular, this card in particular, has a lot of great names on it that just jump out at you. This one jumped out before we started recording at me. I didn't even know Julian Lane was on this against Kardanov, and you were giving me some history on Kardanov.
So Kardanov's coming off a title fight loss, but he's 4-1 in BKFC. Julian Lane, 5-7 in bare knuckle. They have him at 5-7 BKFC. I don't know if that's his overall bare knuckle or just his BKFC record, but I mean, if you're watching online this photo of these guys, it looks like we're looking at, you know, this looks like something out of ACA or, you know, some wild, you know, Russian MMA organization fight. But I'm going to go with Kardanov to win the fight. I think Lane's a little bit more of a punching bag who just really swings hard. So he he's always in fights, but
as long as he gets to bang,
that's kind of what it is. So, I mean, I think Kardanov wins this fight. But you never know. Again, there's none of everything doesn't matter here. I guess this is the, so I thought Fernando Gonzalez was kicking off the main card. Looks like they got him on the prelims on this website. We'll see if anything shifts around on there, but he has a fight. Don't know much about his opponent. When you listen to the interview, he doesn't know much about him either. Kickboxer. That's really all we, you know.
Hasn't he done other bare knuckle elsewhere though?
Who?
Fernando.
No, Fernando's never done bare knuckle fighting.
Huh.
This is his first time. And I asked him in the interview even if he's ever attended a bare knuckle event, and he hasn't. So this will be his first time around this immediately.
That's a good placement on the card then.
So yeah, but he's got the experience, and this is what we're seeing right now. Anything can shuffle up depending on after the weigh-ins and everything else.
And just for folks, because the bare knuckle announced it just a couple of days ago. I mean, the prelims, they obviously see it here. It's on FUBU Sports. If you have the bare knuckle app and you pay for it, the whole event is free for you. But if you want to order the pay-per-view, you can actually order it on YouTube for $29.99. So they're making it really easy for you to watch this. I mean, $29.99, that's not too bad if you got nothing going on and you want to watch some fights.
A fight hack. Fight watching hack. Order the app for a month at $7.99 and then cancel. You get the pay-per-view and you get another event if they have another one in the next 30 days. So,
yeah,
I mean, and as somebody who vouched for the app, never been overcharged, runs cleanly 99.9% of the time. So I definitely, you know, been praising the BKFC app since the day they dropped it. But yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a great fight night. The bottom line is there's really never been a really bad bare knuckle fighting.
No.
I mean, some freaky stuff can happen every once in a while. You get some fluke injuries. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be electric no matter what. I don't see any way that you, people don't walk away from this, who have never seen it, especially with thinking about the new experience and some of the stuff they're going to witness on Saturday night.
Yeah, for sure. I'm that's probably what I'm going to be into outside of, I don't know if I think Spectation Sports has an event going on. I know we have one next weekend that I'm interviewing a fighter for after we do this, but, one thing I wanted to say about this Fernando interview, I don't know if you got to ask him that, but as I was watching it a little bit before we went into record this, Yuri had asked, did you mention his fight with MVP, if you want to get the rematch with MVP? Because I mean, obviously MVP is signed with the UFC, so that's not happening anytime soon, but did that MVP come up at all? Like, because MVP made his bare knuckle foray, and I thought that was a pretty interesting question. So I don't know if he's got history with MVP.
I want people to listen to the interview, but let me just say I ask him his toughest fight, his favorite fight, and the one fight he wishes he could have back.
Mm. Okay.
And I'll leave it at that. And let's just say I guessed right on the one he wanted back.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So yeah, check that out. That's on YouTube. You'll have it on the Spotify here shortly. Enjoy the fights this weekend, guys. And if you've never seen it, this would be the one to tune into if you want to see some kind of new action. I vouch for it. I think, you know, the gods of violence love this sport, and hopefully it's a successful night and everything goes smoothly. Until then, fans can check out the show at Combat Hour on Twitter, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMAHawk21 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Ed at Carbazol on Twitter, Carbeerzol on Instagram, Old Head Carb on Twitch. Thanks for the questions. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a good night. Hello, yes. Ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins, and this is the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. This week, I have the pleasure of bringing back friend of the show, the Menifee Maniac, Fernando Gonzalez, who has a very special fight coming up this Saturday night at Knuckle Mania 4. Fernando, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm doing good. Just getting the last little bit for weight and everything checked in with the promotion. And, yeah, we're a week out, so I'm ready to go.
What weight is this fight at?
It's going to be at 180. So right now I'm in the 90s already. And we're just tapering off and starting to, you know, limit what I'm eating and start cutting out some of the water and start preparing everything for I got to be up there on Thursday, but so start getting ready pretty much for the fight.
Awesome. Did you have to convince family for this one, considering it's bare knuckle, or is this something that, you've had on your target for a while now?
Definitely. I have some family and friends that just, well, mostly my family that they're just didn't want to go to see it. They're like, they've seen it. So a lot of guys take a lot of damage. They get split open and stuff. So they're like, I don't want to see that but I say, look, that's what I trained for. Originally got in street fights. So it's not like it's something new to me. It's, I obviously avoided it for many years, but it's not anything new to us. And if you know how to block, you know how to move. Obviously he's another trained athlete. So I got to prepare myself right for him. But I think I did, and I feel like I'll be walking out with my hand raised.
I've had the pleasure of interviewing some of the people from BKFC, from Sean Wheelock to Chris Lights Out Lytle. They're play-by-play, and had Joey Beltran on. I'm sure you know Joey, a local fighter who was the heavyweight champion there. One of the things he said is that, you know, people, it's keeping the hands up is the number one key kind of in this. It's more important to block than to actually hit somebody, considering the damage that can be done at times. Was there anything different in your training for this? Maybe tightening up the guard or anything, considering there is no gloves?
Yeah, I mean, it's not too much different from MMA as far as the gloves aren't too much more bigger than a fist, you know. So at least the smaller shows, you have a lot thinner glove than the bigger shows. So I did a lot of my sparring with the MMA gloves. Obviously, when I'm hitting pads, I'm hitting bags, I'm using bare knuckle. So my knuckles get adjusted to basically how I have to hold my hands when I'm throwing, when I'm connecting. Sometimes you're going to tweak your wrist a little more. You don't have that extra wrist protection from the gloves. So those are the things that I kind of noticed, and I just made little adjustments to that. And the rest of it is just going to be, we're going to go in there and see what happens, you know, but I'll figure it out once I'm in there.
Now, you've been around the MMA world for a long time. I mean, your MMA career goes back to the early 2000s. I was lucky enough just to be a fan in this area going back to the 90s. So I actually attended bare knuckle events, got into MMA training, you know, in high school, not nowhere near where we're at now. But back when it was no holds barred days and you could headbutt and it was bare knuckle and it was a different world. Did you ever get a chance to attend any of those events? Have you ever been to a bare knuckle event? I know you've seen hundreds of bare knuckle fights, I'm sure, in your life, in the streets and other places. But have you ever been to an event, or have you made it to one of their BKFC shows before?
I haven't. I just know that they had brought it up to me to do a bare knuckle before, but it was still new and it was, the money really wasn't there. So I wasn't trying to jump into it like that just yet at the time. And now that it's slowly been taking off and they're getting a lot of popularity, a lot of money backing them up, I think for me it's kind of worth it to jump in now and test myself against the bare knuckle boxing guys. And obviously you want to get compensated for the damage you're going to take, so that was mainly the main reason I hadn't jumped into it too soon or earlier when they had offered it. But now they have the backing behind them. So yeah, that's kind of my main reason and why I'm testing myself out now to it.
So this one you're getting lucky in a sense. I believe in the past shows, you've kind of said you prefer to fight locally as opposed to doing a bunch of travel. Is that still your stance or am I misremembering?
No, I mean, I love to travel, but I mean, I don't mind it. I do prefer fighting locally just because it's all my stuff's here. I can sleep in my bed. You know, pretty much up until the week of the fight, until I have to go up to LA. But everything I know is here. You know, I cut my weight here. I do the majority of my stuff is here. So when you have to travel, like one time I had a fight in China, and as soon as I get off, we go to cut weight, and we had threw our stuff in the back in the trunk. The dude booked it, took off, and all my stuff got jacked. So like little things like that is like you want to never have to go through. And that was a rough cut that time. So so when it's close to home, I know I can go and grab stuff, or if I need to go to my local stores to pick up like a sauna suit, I can. And when you're in China, it's not that easy. You
know? That's a good point. So in the case then of your first bare knuckle fight for BKFC, it falling in your backyard's probably preferable than to having to go to some of the other kind of outlier cities. I know I've been out to Salina, Kansas, and some places I never thought I'd go to actually attend some of their earlier shows, just as somebody who was focused on the new revival of an old sport, I guess, and somebody who was just kind of curious about it. So what do you know about your opponent, Vincent Familiari? Is that his name? And do you know much about him?
I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but not much. I mean, all I've seen is he was a kickboxer. Obviously comes from a decent camp or a pretty good camp. But he's trained, I think, under King's MMA. And I'm not sure if he's still there now, but obviously they're a good camp. But I know he did train with them, at least in the times that I saw his fight or what I've seen, he's from a good camp. He was training with them. Obviously I can't really go off of those videos just because Muay Thai and kickboxing, they score the kickboxing with kicks being the higher points, right? So from what I've seen on the videos, he's more of a kicker than a puncher, but that could be the reason why. So just little things that I've seen on with his hands that I feel that I could exploit if he does those little mistakes in the fight, then I'll be able to catch him. But my main thing's always been, I'm a boxer who learned kickboxing, who learned jiu-jitsu, who learned MMA. So my first thing was boxing, and I feel that my technique and obviously those techniques and that footwork will make a difference in this fight. And I feel that I'll be able to capitalize being able to use those techniques and those movements against them.
Just recently, in the last couple months, I guess it's been now, you fought, you had a boxing match at Pechanga, came out victorious. I saw one site that listed that as your like first professional boxing. I know I had seen you fight Paul Daly in a kickboxing match for Bellator at Dynamite Bellator 142. Was that something you said you started in boxing? Did you just not have any fights was the money just, or how did you transition, or have you had several boxing matches and that just being your first professional fight on record?
Well, that's my first professional boxing fight. That everything that I did as far as boxing was smokers. You know, you just go to local gyms and spar with the local guys. I did have a couple amateur fights through USA Boxing, and that was, I was a kid, so that was many, many years ago. I'm 40 years old now, so that was, I started at six. I started boxing when I was six, but I went smokers, and I did a couple competitions, but it was mostly smokers all the way up until high school, so I did have quite a bit of fights with that, but as soon as I graduated, MMA had already hit the scene. And obviously, I grew up in Temecula. I grew up Menifee, but Temecula, Murrieta, Temescal, Lake Elsinore, all those areas are like wrestling background. You know, they're huge on the wrestling here. So every fight that I pretty much got in a street fight with was taken to the ground. So I learned how to fight MMA before there was MMA. And then they made it a sport. And so as soon as I was done with high school, I was like, oh shit, I can get paid for this. And so that I jumped into that. And then obviously still, I love MMA more as I love boxing. I love kickboxing, but MMA is still my favorite sport to do just because you have so many different techniques that you could use. And during training, you can break it up. You know, it's not the same thing every single day, and you can change it up a little bit. So as far as MMA, I still love MMA the most, but boxing was my first profession that I love to do. And obviously it's keeping me in the gym, and it's keeping me where I can still compete. And so I'm definitely loving that right now.
Awesome. You mentioned the training. Is it easier? I mean, MMA is the hardest training in the world, right? Like, is it doing a boxing camp and now doing a bare knuckle boxing camp? Is it kind of nice to feel your body kind of healing up a little bit or getting some rest? Or, I mean, you know what I mean? It seems like the grind of MMA just is something that most people always say is about as hard as it gets on the body.
I would say so, but I've been doing it for so long, and I've always known to listen to my body and start tapering off. There's so many guys throughout the years in the gym that would take injuries, you know, and they would keep going on it, and then it caught up to them. So in that time, I hadn't made it into Bellator yet, so I got to see these guys go through those experiences, and instead of taking the time off, they kind of, you know, ended their career quicker than they should have. And so once I got into Bellator, I was a little bit older already. I was in my 30s. I made sure to pay attention to my body. boxing, kickbox. Like I said, I've always been a striker. I love striking. So when they offered the Paul Daly fight, I was trying to fight him MMA, but they wouldn't give him to me in MMA. And I knew why. I had a better ground game than him. And but I went in there striking. So they're like, "Hey, well, maybe you'll test it out on kickboxing." I was like, I don't fear any man. So let's, if he wants to fight me kickboxing, let's go. So that's why I took that one too. But I had already had won a WBC national title in Muay Thai prior to fighting Paul Daly. So I already had some kickboxing experience as well, but that's why I didn't mind taking that fight. I knew I could do well, and I knew, obviously, I'm confident in my striking, and I know I can compete with some of the best in the world. So I try to test myself. And one of the main reasons I'm on this card is because I want Mike Perry. I've been wanting to fight him. I called him out when he made a comment about anybody can get that smoke, and they kind of brushed me off to the side. But once they offered this card, I wanted on it. So I can hopefully get him in front of me at some point.
It's funny you say that, because when I heard that, well, first of all, I was kind of thrown off by the fact that the state of California even legalized BKFC, if I'm being honest. It was the last thing I expected. But when I heard this event was announced, I actually, your name actually went through my head, like, dude, this dude's going to get on the card. I don't remember if it was because previous conversations we had talked about maybe doing some other wild stuff, whether it would be Japan or bare knuckle or what, and you were always up for that kind of stuff. But it seemed like a perfect fit. Have you had a chance to talk to anybody that's fought this kind? I mean, you've seen it all, so I know that there's nothing that you're really expecting to be a surprise. But is there anything that any advice anybody's given you that's competed in this that you've spoke to, or is it just another day in the office?
Nah, pretty much another day in the office. The only thing when you're in this sport, and if, like, for me, I've never been the tallest guy, so my strategy's always got to be with a strategy. I have to go in there with a game plan. And with that, you need to know how to break down fighters. You know, you need to know how to see their weaknesses and exploit it. One of the main things that I seen with this is I had to prepare my hands properly, because when they're banging, their hands swell up. You know, their hands get really, really swollen. So I definitely did as much as I could to put trauma to my hands, let them heal, get back to training hard, and then. So those are the things that I've noticed, because on one of the fights I've seen, a Crazy Horse fight, he threw like overhand, broke his hand, threw overhand, broke his other hand, and that was it, you know. So that's definitely one of the things I train to avoid and make sure I'm landing clean, so I don't hurt myself and not be able to continue. And obviously I want to get my hand raised, so if I don't have any hands, that's not going to happen. So I've been training, I won't give anything away, but I've been training intelligently to make sure, I'm doing the damage and not getting the majority of the damage done to me.
You mentioned MMA and that being your love, and that being, you know, what really made the main Menifee Maniac name, a known commodity, from the WEC to Bellator, hell of a run there. Looking back on your career, what would you say was like the toughest fight, and maybe your most satisfying or favorite fight? I have a feeling I know which one this might be, but which one you'd like to have a chance to get back?
I would say my favorite fight, there's two. So my favorite part of Bellator was being able to get my hands on Carl Parisian, because that guy had pissed me off so many, like 10 years prior. And we fought in King of the Cage when he was trying to rebuild himself. I was a champion there. And I was like, look, I'm the champion. He's coming from the UFC. Why wouldn't he want to fight me for the belt? And so I was trying to get my hands on him then. And I think at that time it was Gladiator Challenge, They're like, dude, he's not going to fight you. He's not going to test himself against or put himself in a position where he's going to lose. He wants to win. He wants to win the fight. So we're not going to do that. A couple months later, we get on Bellator, and we're on the same card with him, and Mariusz Jaromskis fell out, and I was scheduled to fight Raw Deal. He's gonna be pissed at me. He's a good friend of mine too. But anyway, they call his nickname's the Raw Deal, and he was supposed to fight me, and then they offered the fight to me to fight Parisian, and I was like, hell yeah. A 3 weeks notice, I was like, I'm taking that fight. And so you know, that was by far my favorite part of it, because I knew eventually I'd get to him. My favorite fight would be against Jaromskis, and the one that followed after that, because I think we broke a record as the most punches thrown in a Bellator match for welterweight in the first round. We were banging it out that whole fight, but that first round was nuts. He caught me with a clean ass head kick, and I trapped it, was able to take him down, and we just, it was just a back and forth flowy type of fight. So that was my favorite fight, and obviously the one I would like to get in front of again would be MVP. That one, they did everything they could to get that dude a win. I don't know if you see that fight, he toned it down. With, he was just pretty much wiggling in front of me, and they gave him two rounds, you know, off of him wiggling. They're like, oh, he's, you know, he's doing this. Fernando's like, the one that landed the most was me on that fight. And then I had him running for me in the third. Where the referee actually stopped the fight and said, dude, you have to fight. Like, you can't just run. One judge gave it to me. It was a split decision. And one of the comments that they made was like, oh, what was he seeing? It was like, look, the only one that got it right was that one judge. All the other ones were going off the hype and pretty much watching him dance in front of me. He didn't do shit. So, yeah, he actually asked me for a rematch after when we're in the cage. So he knew he had lost. And once they announced him, I was like, hey, what's up with that rematch? And he was all quiet then. He didn't say anything, just went about his business. And one thing I will say is, I didn't really like him that much, but he's a good fighter, you know, that. So I had to go in there with a good game plan. Second and third round, I started pressing him. So, but the layoff that they gave me was like almost a year before I got to him. It was like 9 months. I tried to get another fight in the middle of that fight, and they wouldn't allow me to fight him. He fought in England when he shattered Cyborg's face, and then he took like 6 months off, and I was already off for 3 months. I said, listen, give me another fight so I'm fresh. And they're like, oh, no, that's the next fight that's coming up. So they made me wait 9 months before I could actually train. So, you know, my timing was a little off, and I think had that not happened, I would have been able to press him a little more in the first as well. So for me, that's how they did as much as they could to get him the win.
The three fights you mentioned, I actually had the pleasure of sitting cage side for. I know the two, the Jaromskis and Parisian fight, were both at Bellator, and then your fight was up in San Jose with MVP. I was also at that fight, and I did judge it for you. This is even before I think I even really knew you, or we had even met, and I actually thought you had won the fight. It was a close fight. You know, but I did agree. I do agree with you that I thought you had won two rounds, and the judges, obviously, one of them, like you said, one of them agreed with us, but
he's the only one that got it right.
So how about the toughest fight? Going to Russia, going to Chechnya, early in your career, maybe your first loss. Anything on your mind that you just like, you know, that fight just sucked? And if not, that's good.
Well, I would say my toughest fight. Oh man, I think it's still Jaromskis. I think it was Jaromskis was the, but I was well prepared for that fight. So that, you know, I'm glad I got that victory. But as far as like all of my fights, that was probably my hardest fight. Because afterwards, for like a good 2 weeks, I took me a long time to recover from that fight. We both beat the crap out of each other in that fight. So my legs, my head was good. You know, like I took a clean head kick, so I was able to trap it. But for like a good 2 weeks. It took me a good 2 weeks to heal from everything from that fight. But, you know, luckily my hand got raised at the end of it. But, yeah, that was by far my toughest fight.
You know, I went into that fight obviously rooting for you, being the Menifee maniac. I'm a fan of Fernando Gonzalez. I have been for a long time. But I also was a huge fan of Marius Aramkis. Watching him in Dream, he had a huge run where he had like four consecutive head kick knockouts, fighting Mock Sakurai and some of the legends over there in Japan. How was he as a person? Real soft-spoken? Or, I mean, what you mentioned not really liking MVP. How was Aramkis?
No, Zaramskis was awesome, man. He was like very humble. Yeah, like as far as even after the fight, we shook hands and you know embraced each other, gave each other a hug after the fight. Obviously, he doesn't, you know, he didn't really speak too much English or anything, but I mean, as far as personality, that dude was respectful. I always respect the ones that respect me. And we just go out there to do our job and put on a show for the fans. So I'm not above it. If they started running their mouth to me, I'm not one to keep my mouth shut. So I don't know. With him, it was all respect. Some, like, obviously MVP had something to say with he tried to say that he was going to shatter my skull. And that's what really turned it on for me, because it was like, look, when he made that comment at the press conference, I was like, man, what basically you're trying to say is you're trying to end my career. And this is how I feed my family. So I took that very personal. And I still don't really like him to date. I mean, I respect him as a fighter, but I really still don't really like him since that comment.
No, and that's understandable. You know, the a lot of the sport is built off the you know, the honor of it. And most of the fighters that we all look up to, you looked up to probably getting in the sport. Dan Henderson himself was a personification of class in and outside of the cage. So, you know, I think that that's great to see. Well, Fernando, next Saturday, April 27th, the Peacock Theater, the same night as the Lakers and Nuggets are going to be playing next to you guys. It is going to be electric down there in downtown LA. This will be my fifth bare knuckle BKFC show, and I am looking forward to it more than any of the other ones prior to get to see you compete again. Mike Perry, love him or hate him, the dude is exciting as hell. He's fighting Thiago Alves, another legend of MMA and an action fighter. And then you got some big boys at the top of the card as well. Mick Terrell, and Hunt, for the heavyweight title. So should be a great night of action. I know it's available on the BKFC app. If you subscribe, it's part of it. Yeah. Otherwise you will need to order the pay-per-view. I also generally, these are on Triller TV. I don't want to misspeak, but that might be something that you can also look into, but generally the pay-per-view theirs are more expensive. The app is the way to go. Do you have any sponsors? Let's get it all out there. And any last words before going into the squared circle, as they call it?
Yeah, for sure. My sponsors that kept me in the gym, obviously, to get ready for this fight: Unique Concrete, Dynamic Tint, Boss Construction. He's actually one of my old sparring partners from back in the day at Corey Cass's gym at Fight Lab. He sponsored me for this fight and helped me get ready for the fight. CVAC, as far as the plastering, CVAC's always been my recovery center place where I go to get my recovery. Dr. Toy Chiropractic, he's always helped me stay in alignment, especially you guys trying to be knocking me out right before. But everything worked out good for this camp, and I'm excited to go out there. Obviously, my training partners at Team Quest, Sarah Valencia, Khalil Stokes, they both really helped me out for this fight. Those are two of my the ones that I'm helping and training right now to help them come up in MMA. But both of them are really talented with their hands, and they're obviously in the striking. So they helped me out a lot. And obviously the guys at the gym, Tarek Safferdine, he runs a lot of the kickboxing classes in there. So when I was in the class, they would do the boxing with me instead of just kicking me, only boxing with me. So I appreciate him as well, letting me jump in the class and kind of catering to me for that. And so obviously Dan Henderson's gym, you know, everybody at the gym there that's been supporting me and helping me out for years. But thank you guys so much. And again, Sarah Valencia and Khalil, those two really stepped up for me in this training camp. So I appreciate them.
Well, we look forward to the fight. Fans can check out the Combat Coast to Coast Combat Hour at Combat Hour on Twitter, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMAHawk21 on Twitter and Instagram. Go ahead, Fernando.
And Velasquez Landscaping. My bad. I knew I was forgetting one, but I didn't forget. He actually just dropped me some cash today, too, to help me out and make sure everything's set up for me when I get out there. So thank you, guys. We call him Nissan. He always drove a Nissan. So thank you, guys, and I appreciate you.
Awesome, Fernando. We look forward to the fight. Again, April 27th, Peacock Theater, Knuckle Mania 4, Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. Go out there and get it, brother. Best of luck, and look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, bro. I'll see you up there, and hopefully after the show, too, we'll go grab a bite to eat. I don't really drink, so we'll all go. Pretty much everybody that's coming out to support me, we're going to go and grab some food and hang out, and I'll be staying the night up there also, so I won't be coming home right away. I'll be chilling with everybody.
All right. Look forward to seeing you then. Have a good rest of your day. Have a great rest of your training camp, cutting weight. Best of luck, Fernando. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, brother.